Amen. If you turn tonight to Romans chapter 5, thank you, brothers. Our thrust has been back to the basics. There's three categories that the Lord impressed upon my heart. Back to the basic disciplines, back to the basic doctrines, back to the basic deeds. We're going to make a switch tonight, and I may not stay strictly in those categories. I may need to jump around. So far, we've talked about the disciplines of Bible reading, the disciplines of prayer, the disciplines of fasting. There are other disciplines I would have liked to cover, just don't feel impressed at this time. The disciplines of meditation. That's not where you get your mat out and sit cross-legged. It's a different kind of meditation. It's truly spiritual things. The discipline of Bible memorization. I believe in that. I believe in Bible memorization. And the discipline of Bible study. I'm excited of folks reading their Bibles. But there's another discipline, and that's really studying it as you read. We'll leave those for another night. Tonight, I want to move into the area of back to the Bible basic doctrines. Now, look, basic is simply that, basic. That means when I preach on these things, you're going to say, we know this, we know this, we know this, we know this. But that's the way it is with basic things. They're things that we know. But you know, the writers, the apostle says, it's good to be reminded of these things. In fact, Peter said it would even stir up a pure mind to go over the same thing. It'd stir up a pure mind. And so tonight we're going to talk about the doctrine of justification. Now some, that's already got you, that big word. One pastor, he had been going through a series. He had talked about justification and sanctification and glorification and propitiation. And next Sunday, one Sunday in the Sunday school room, the teacher said, today we're going to talk about procrastination. Does anyone know what that is? One little boy spoke up and said, I don't know what it is, but the pastor will be for it because that sounds like all the other words. Justification. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Verse 8. Shouting words. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us in that we were perfect and righteous and holy. No. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. All of this is exciting. All of this is packed with tremendous spiritual truths that have ramifications for us right now and forever. But I want to look at verse 9 and focus on that. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Now, I don't have us do this often, but would you repeat that phrase with me? Justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. A basic doctrine. It's so basic, the church is getting away from it. Hallelujah. Now, look, I know it seems I'm harping on something, but I see the direction our church world is going. But man doesn't need self-esteem first and foremost. Man needs justified in the eyes of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, anoint the preaching of your word. May our appreciation for all that Christ has done for us just grow in our hearts tonight. Father, I need the help of your Holy Spirit to take this doctrine that's so important, so deep, so meaningful, Lord, by your Spirit, that it would stir a chord in our heart once again. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. James Kennedy, many of you had seen his program on religious television, the Coral Ridge Church there in Florida, did a great work. And one of his works was that he developed a course on personal evangelism. He wrote a book called Evangelism Explosion. And when I taught in Bible school and taught personal evangelism, that was one of the textbooks that I used. And he would teach folks as they were reaching out to the unchurched or the lost, he would teach them to begin by asking two questions. I want to ask those questions tonight. He said the first question you should ask someone, you should say to them, have you come to a place in your spiritual life that you know for a certainty that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? That's a good question. Have you come to the place in your spiritual life that you know for a certainty that if you would die tonight, you would go to heaven? And the second question, he said you need to ask someone to kind of imagine with you for a moment and say to them, if you were to die tonight and stand before God at the gates of heaven, and God were to ask you this question, why should I let you into heaven? What would you answer? What would you say? Can you know for a certainty if you die tonight, you'll go to heaven? And if you were to die tonight and go to heaven, and God asked you, why should I let you in? What would you say? Well, I believe the belief in this doctrine of justification, more than the belief of the doctrine, I believe the experience of justification is the answer. If you have been justified, you can know of a certainty that if you die tonight, you can have the assurance that you will go to heaven. And not a bit of it is based on what you and I have done or accomplished. The assurance comes from what He has done and He has accomplished. And what is the answer to the question, why should I let you in heaven? It's not you should let me into heaven, God, because I've been a good person or I've given the shirt off my back or, Lord, I've went to church. The answer is, God, the only reason you should let me into heaven is I've been washed by the blood that your Son spilled on the cross that I might not have to go to hell, but I can walk through those gates. That's justification, undeserved, unworthy of it. And yet because of what He has done, we can have the assurance that our hearts are right. Praise the Lord. Justification. I'm going to be very basic tonight, Brother Dearth, if you'll help me. Justification is simply when we believe God has made us right, and that means right in His eyes, right before Him. We believe God has made us right because of what Christ has done. I'm not right because of what I've done. I'm right because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. You see, this thing about justification is a belief that we're made right with God because we believe He's made us right through and because of Jesus shedding His blood for our sins on the cross. Now, I want to ask you a question. Even Nathan, I'm just using you for an illustration. Would you stand up? You're going to represent all mankind. You're not right. So on what basis can God take someone that is not right and declare and say that they're right? How can He take someone that is wrong and make them right? On what basis does He do that? He does not do that on the basis of what the man has done. He does it on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God took you and I who were wrong and He made us right on the basis of the blood of His Son. That's justification. And it's not just a doctrine to get in the head. It's an experience of literally, as you believe it, God makes you right. And you know it in your heart that you and I who were wrong, God has made us right. Thank God. That's why I like the song, "What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You see, the truths about justification, number one, and the wrong grammar is intentional, but we ain't right. You know, people today, they have an expression. Someone does something that's really bad or really odd or really strange, and you start shaking your head. You look at me, you ain't right. How many knows what I'm talking about? He just ain't right. Well, I want to know the truth of the matter is he may not be right, but none of us were right. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm going to tell you, there is something wrong with man. There's something wrong with humanity. That don't make us feel too good, but that's the truth of the matter. I've always wondered, you know, if someone goes to the doctor and the doctor runs his test and he goes over and he asks questions, diagnoses, and he sits him down in a chair in his office and he says, I have found out what's wrong with you. You've got this wrong with you. It's a bad thing and it's wrong with you. No one gets mad at the doctor. They say, oh, thank you, doctor, that you have told me what is wrong with me. But in the spiritual realm, when you start talking about there's something wrong with man, something ain't right, folks will get upset at you. They ought to say, thank you, God, that you let me know there was something wrong. Hallelujah. But I want you to know the truth. Man is not right. There's something wrong with the way man thinks. You don't believe that? I want to stay out of this. You don't think there's something wrong with the way man thinks? You just listen to a few of the specialists and a few of the political figures, and you're going to find out there's something wrong with the way man thinks. There's something wrong the way a man feels. I mean, they'll go all upset about a butterfly that seems to be decreasing in population and won't think twice about aborting a human being. There's something wrong with the way man thinks, the way man feels. There's something wrong with the way man does things. I mean, it's all messed up. Now, God didn't create man that way. Man became that way because of his sin. There's something wrong with man's relationship. Did you know the first step in being made right is to admit that you're wrong? Amen. You'll never get a math problem right that's wrong until you admit that it's wrong. And until man realizes and admits that he's wrong, he's never going to get it right. Amen. Did you know people now, I know there's exceptions. There's those with psychological problems. But people generally don't go to the doctor unless they think they're sick. Most people don't take their car to the garage unless they think there's something wrong with it. No wonder folks aren't turning to God when even in the church they're being told they're okay. You're okay. I'm okay. Everybody's okay. Just accept everything is okay. No wonder there's no spiritual life. You see, people don't get it right until they realize it's wrong. It's wrong. I've had folks come to me and say, I'm not good enough to be saved. I've got too many problems. I've been too bad. But the truth is, no one's good enough to be saved. No one's got it together. Everybody's got a problem. Amen. And the truth of the matter is, a person that is right still can't be right. You think you're right, it's still going to be wrong. You see, if there's nothing wrong with mankind, we need to close the doors of the church. We have no message. This is why man's every plan, I'm talking about out in the world, man's every plan for improvement, man's every philosophy for living, man's every psychology for understanding, it fails, and it fails at this point. They don't begin with the fact there's something wrong with man. They say man's okay, it's his environment that's wrong. Man's okay, it's his education that's wrong. Man's okay, it's his economics that are wrong. Man's okay, it's his politics that are wrong. They say man has problems because all of those things are wrong. I believe the Bible teaches a converse of that. The economy's wrong, the politics are wrong, the environment's wrong, the education's wrong, because there's something wrong with man. Now, if that's all the message, it's despair and gloom and doom. But that's not all the message. The message is man is wrong, but we have been justified. We have been made right through his blood. And so whatever their protestations, most down deep, if they just admit it, they know something ain't right with man. Let's just all be honest. I'm talking about looking at man in general, okay? Just say it out loud. Say, we ain't right. Secondly, in this message of justification, we desperately need to be made right. How many knows that what is wrong with us is what is destroying us? What is wrong with us is ruining our relationships. It's destroying our institutions like marriage and family. What is wrong with us isn't just destroying and sabotaging our relationship. What is wrong with us is destroying us as individuals. That is wrong. I'm talking about our spiritual nature. We take our anger and our hurt and our bitterness and our selfishness into our relationships. And what is wrong with us makes everything else wrong. We desperately need to be made right. I said we desperately need to be made right. People don't just need church. People don't just need more fellowship. People don't need just another social event to go to. People don't need just a support group. People need to be made right. And religion will never make them right. And philosophy will never make them right. And if they're not made right, they're just going to make more things wrong. How many would agree with me? People need repaired. People need to be made whole. In fact, people need radical heart surgery. Oh, he can do it too. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to know he said, I'll take away that heart of stone. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'm telling you, he can do the radical transplant. So we ain't right. We desperately need to be made right. But the trouble is we cannot make ourselves right. No matter how determined, no matter how disciplined we are, no matter how wise we are, no matter how strong we are, we cannot fix what is wrong with us. Have you ever had that despair trying to fix something around the house that was important and suddenly you realize you just weren't going to be able to fix it? Just couldn't do it. We cannot make ourselves right. It's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough just to give money for charitable and religious purposes. It's not enough to have gone through some ritual. You see, when we get away from the doctrine of justification, we'll start teaching like some do that you're saved when you're baptized in water under a certain formula. We'll get there next Sunday night. But listen, being baptized in water doesn't fix what is wrong with us. We need something more than water to fix what is wrong with us. We don't get baptized, amen, to make us right. We get baptized to show that God has made us right. And all of those things, we cannot make ourselves right. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. How's he justified? By the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can do all the rituals. You can follow all the rules. And there's still something wrong with man. We can't fix what's wrong. But the next part of that is, now we're going to make a turn here. The next part of that is God can. I said God can. And God wants to make us right. Oh, hallelujah. I said God can. And God wants to make us right. Amen. I used to hear Sister Norvell say, when you're buttoning up your sweater, if you get the first button in the wrong hole, it's going to be wrong all the way. Amen. Man just can't get it right. But I'm telling you, God, he can. He knows how to do it. And not only can he do it, he wants to. How bad does he want to make us right? He wants to make us right so bad He sent His Son Jesus to make us right. It isn't just that it isn't right with us. It's never going to be right with us without God. Oh, hallelujah. But He knows how to make us right. And He does it on the basis of His Son. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Psalms 103 and verse 10, one of my favorite verses, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Even Romans 4 and verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How does that happen? It was in our text. It happens by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nathan, help me again. Amen. If you don't mind, get down on all fours like you're a lamb. Amen. Way back in the Old Testament, God said, if you sinned, you come to that temple, that tabernacle with the lamb. You bring that lamb there, and that priest is going to slaughter that lamb and shed its blood and put that lamb on the altar for your sins. But when you get that lamb there at the tabernacle, you that have sinned, you put your hands on the head of that lamb. Why do you do that? Because you're transferring. You have the problem. You have the wrongness. You have the sin. But by putting your hand upon the head of that lamb, you are transferring your sins to that lamb. That lamb is going to take your sin. That lamb is going to bear those sins. And then the priest slit the throat of that lamb to shed its blood and put that lamb upon the altar. That's just on the altar. Amen. What's your head there? Scoot down just a little bit. Amen. Put that lamb on the altar. Hallelujah. And God said, I'm not going to look at your sin anymore. I've put your sin away because the lamb has shed its blood and has borne your sin. I'm telling you, God can justify us because He took what was wrong about us. He took our sins and He put them on Christ. And when Christ shed His blood, He took our sins away. Hallelujah. I tell you, that's enough to shout. That's enough to shout. Come on, lamb, stand up. You're going to be everything tonight. Now you're Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, that's not hard to go from a lamb to Jesus, because He is the lamb. Hallelujah. That taketh away the sin of the world. Brother Aaron, that's enough to shout about right there. But that's just half of justification. Just half of justification is He didn't deal with us over our sins, but He put our sins on Christ. And He dealt with Christ on the cross for our sins. Our sins are transferred to Jesus. But that's just half of the justification. Oh, man, hallelujah. Our sins are gone, but we're still not right before God. Because God now needs to do the next thing. He has taken my sin and put it on Jesus. But step two, God takes the righteousness of Christ and transfers and puts it on me who had been the sinner. Oh, hallelujah. We're justified by His blood. That just didn't take away our sins. It allowed God to take the righteousness of Christ and put it upon us. And now when God looks at us, He says, you are justified. You are right. Because on you I no longer see your sin. I see the righteousness of my Son. And you don't get more right than Jesus. Can you say amen? Thank you, Nathan. You don't get more right than Jesus. Last of all, we can be right when we let God make us right. You see, this can be a doctrine. You can hear me preach it tonight. But until you allow God to do it for you, it's just a theory. A theory in the sense that you have not put it to practice. You see, it's not enough for the doctrine to be in the Bible. I must accept the fact that God did it for me. He put my sins on Christ, and He puts Christ's righteousness on me. And that's justification. But I must accept it. I accept it by doing two things. I believe it. I really believe it's not a man's religion. It's not just some philosophy, man dream. I really believe that it happened in time, in history, that Jesus died so I could be made right before God. I really believe that however bad my sins are, God has already put them on Christ, if I'll but accept that. I must believe that whatever is wrong with me, God will put on me the righteousness of His Son. And when God looks at me, He sees the rightness of Jesus. That's justification. You see, we've got a problem. We know something's wrong. And as I preach tonight, we can't fix it. You may have something physically wrong in your body, and you cannot do surgery on yourself, even if you're a doctor. But though you cannot do surgery on yourself, you can go down and put your life and your body in the hands of a surgeon and let him do it, what you can't do. You may not be able to fix your car, but you can drive it to the garage and turn it over to the mechanic. We can't fix our lives, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can come in faith believing and give our souls to God and say, God, do what I can't do. How many's glad to be justified tonight? One more thing. I want to try to do this as an illustration. This may come out really silly. I don't know. Maybe will. I should think these things through more. But I'm going to give you a simple illustration tonight of how God does what we can't do. Brother Chris, come help me. Amen. Brother Chris, tonight he's going to do something for you. He's going to play Amazing Grace. There's only one problem. He don't know how to play the piano. Now the analogy breaks down because on this, if he tried long enough, if we sat here for 3 or 4 or 5 days, he might pick it out. Can you play the piano? No? You at least know where your fingers ought to go, right? I want you to play Amazing Grace. Go ahead. Let's hear it. Remember, you're being streamed. Come on, play Amazing Grace. Well, maybe if you put your hands further up here, try that. No, he's not loud enough. That's what it is. Louder. No, maybe if you go softer. Maybe if you'd go softer. Still no amazing. Anyone here in Amazing Grace? Maybe if you'd stand up while you played. Okay. Keep your shoes on. Go ahead, sit down. Come on, keep trying. Play Amazing Grace. How many believes he's ever going to play Amazing Grace tonight? Anyone believe that? Let's scoot down just a little bit here. I want you to do something. I want you to trust me. Put your hand right on top. Move your foot. Thanks. Hey, man, is he playing now? Because he joined his hand with mine. We couldn't play the piano. We stay right here. We couldn't get it right. May need you for altar service. We couldn't play the piano and we couldn't get it right. Never was going to get it right. Brother Steve, we could try real hard. We could have some antics. We could get loud. We're never going to get it right. But the moment we give our heart to God and join our heart with Christ, we are made right. We'll just stand and praise Him. And would a real piano player come? Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we need this. We need this. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor Hurst, why is this important? Why are we talking about this? We've heard this. Yes, it's a basic. Because everywhere from the youngest Sunday school class, the Wednesday night classes, Camp Dove, nursing home ministry, every Sunday school class, every service. We must never forget, unless people understand they need the blood of Jesus, we have no way to help them. Their lives are going to be unchanged. They'll never be delivered. They'll never be made. But if we can preach, come to Jesus, He'll wash away your sin. We've got to get it, because some groups begin to think it's all in how hard you try, how much you conform to a certain list. And we'll get to the effects this has another night. But some folks are trying to get people to jump through the hoops, and that'll save you. Get them in the water, get them to shake your hand, get them to conform to a certain lifestyle, and then they're saved. And the answer is, they're no more playing Amazing Grace than Chris did. It's not until they trust in Jesus Christ and let God make them right. And I'm glad I can preach this, because it don't matter how wrong we are, if we'll come in faith believing, He will forgive our sin. He will clothe us in the righteousness. And when God looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Sister Brock, we're justified, made right through His blood. If you're here tonight and you've not let God make you right, do it before you leave here. Come and believe what I've preached. Believe Jesus has died for your sins. Believe that God will not deal with you after your sins, but He'll deal with you according to the blood of Christ. And if you'll call out to God, He will save you, and you can leave here right in the eyes of God. Church, let's come and fill this altar. If you're here and you need Christ, come with the saints as they're coming to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.